I'm so glad you're all here, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's called You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brendan Weatherby. It's a talk show, and we're going to talk about things. I have lots of notes, and I have actually prepared, unlike somebody that was just on the stage. I said that because we're recording this part. The last part I'm definitely not going to use in any recording, but I'm glad we did it. We have to learn from each other. So the reason why I go to shows or I go to anything, and I hope it's the same for you, is to, in theory, form a connection with someone or just divorce yourself from your current reality. That's why you go to anything. The whole point isn't to go to therapy. It's to see a show. That's the whole point. Now, I would like to tell everyone in the room, the person on the microphone does not control the volume of the stage. Okay, I'm up here, and the soundboard is in the way far back. Now, that's how it is in 99% of clubs, and I'm going to get back to that later. It's been a month since this last talk show. We used to do it weekly, and before we used to do it weekly, I just had to talk about whatever was in the news that day, because it's kind of hard to come up with a lot of personal stuff to talk about, or hell, anything to talk about for 5 minutes at the top of the show. So, I haven't really been thinking about this show. Instead, I've been going to a lot of other shows. Last week, I saw two of my favorite people perform in front of 600 people to a sold-out Sixth and I. Sixth and I is a Jewish synagogue that also has comedy, so it's very odd. They don't know what they're doing, but I love them dearly. My friends are named Megan and Lisa. They're both former Chicago comics, current New York comics, and I'm going to brag about one of them right now. Lisa is she's blowing up. She's got TV development deals in the works. She's going to have an MTV show on the air in the next month or two. She just got to perform with Dave Attell, who's like her comedian god, and all I could say is her life looks absolutely miserable to me. She's a 27-year-old woman that cannot maintain a relationship for no fault of her own. I pity every single stand-up comic, both in this room and in the entire world. What you people are trying to do seems horrible. Now, the majority of the people in the room are not stand-up comics because they made better life decisions. Now, you're the most famous stand-up comic in the country right now. Louis C.K., probably. Is that fair to say? Louis C.K., divorced. Who's your second most famous comic, maybe? Chris Rock, divorced. Your third most famous comic selling on arenas, Kevin Hart. He's very short. It's a horrible lifestyle. You travel. Is Kevin Hart divorced? Thank you, Haywood. That's a horrible lifestyle, and those are the best. My friend Lisa's like in the middle, and she's living her dream, and her dream is shitty. I have been thinking about non-performers, too. I have been thinking about my friends, my friend Amy, currently in Atlanta. She's visiting New York. I'm not that far from New York. She sends me a lovely email. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm going to be in New York. Any chance you're going to be there? And I haven't responded for 4 days, and I feel absolutely awful. There's no excuse for this, and this is not really an apology to her because I know she's never listened to the show, and the show's been recorded for 6 years. But don't feel bad. I love her dearly. She used to let me sleep on her couch when I would do shows in New York. And I didn't realize at the time, but I had psoriasis, okay? Because I used to work really shitty menial jobs. So I would be like a dishwasher, and I worked at movie theaters, and my hands would just... When it's weather like this, and you have to wash 6 hours of dishes, your hands are going to be all horrible and bloody. That's a disgusting image, and I apologize for putting that in your skulls. Now, I have lotion next to my bed, and then one day she comes out and sees on her air mattress just like a used lotion and a half-open laptop. And I would like, and we've never talked about that. I was watching season 2 of Community. It was a very good season. I've also been not doing shows. I've been sitting home watching a lot of shows because of things like the snow. I didn't say weather because my last name is Weatherby, and I went to grade school. So anytime it was negative weather, I got that on me. Don't feel bad. I'm a 6'2" white married man. Everything is going my way in America and ever. Don't worry about me. I'm perfect. Do you know how hard it is to have a job that you love like 80% of the time? Oh, it's a fucking struggle. Anyways, I watched Russell Brand's latest special yesterday, and it's really, really good. Completely sincere now. I love that special. That's not even the in theory funny part. Okay. It's about four things. He's got four topics. It's about Jesus Christ, Malcolm X, Gandhi, and Che Guevara. And he connects to all these individuals, and he does it. He's so right about everything, and I love it. And I would right now like to apologize to anyone that ever dealt with me from the years 1999 to 2004, because I used to publish a political zine, and that's not right for anybody to do. And I would like to... That didn't land, but if you know me, it's okay. We live in a world where we get to listen to Kanye West all day on repeat. Do you realize how amazing this world is? I did that for hours every day this week. I feel amazing. I wanted to fight somebody I read on the internet that said it wasn't the best song of the week. We live in a very fast modern era. No one's going to remember it in 6 months. But that song right now, he's got a fucking Beatle on it, and it doesn't suck. Oh, my God, it's so good. You guys like Kanye? I have to stop talking about Kanye West. Just because I'm from Chicago, and he's from Chicago, and I'm from the south side of Chicago, and I'm from the south side of Chicago where no black people live, but it's just a bunch of Polish people, just because I feel like I'm the same person as him doesn't mean it's right for me every single week to go on a stage to talk about him. Side note, I should have mentioned this during the Russell Brand part. If you're on coke, if you're going to do coke, stop pretending like we all don't know you're on coke and are looking for a place to do the cocaine. Just go. Could I do the cocaine in your bathroom, or do I have to pretend we're going to just chat till 6 a.m.? Just go and do the coke. It's fine. I used to be a bartender, and once a coke had saved my life. We'll get to that in a future show. Been watching a lot of Justified. That would have been topical in 2011. It's a great show. I highly recommend it. Isn't it a good show? Are you guys caught up on the show? But you're on, is it 6 or 7 right now? It's the last season. Is it 6? 6? So I'm in the middle of season 3. Do you know the end date? I know I could just Google this, but it's much more fun. We're making a connection. Isn't this fun? Do you know when it ends? Because I'm trying to binge watch the entire thing. I'm in the middle. I know I'm in season 3. I think I'm on episode 9 or 10. Five. Oh, I have 5 weeks to catch up. Yo, I could easily binge watch 36 hours of Justified. It's a fantastic show starring the gorgeous Timothy Oliphant. If you don't think he's a gorgeous specimen of the human race, you don't have any estrogen or testosterone pumping through your veins, because that man, the hit film Go, it wasn't a hit, but it should have been a hit. He stole the show in Go. 14 years later, he has a TV show. Anyways, I've been watching a lot of Justified. So that means I've been listening to a lot of Steve Earle and Willie Nelson and drinking a lot on my couch, and I feel great about that. And on the way to work today, my wife and I share a Spotify account. White Married Male America, it's the best. And one of her songs from her, she teaches spin, I live a stereotype, one of her like spin songs came on, and they're all horrible, but they're amazing. It's just pure, it's like candy for the ears. There's no substance. Steve Earle and Willie Nelson songs, they're all about pain and sadness and love lost. These are all, and you feel fucking good. And I felt like it was after a little league game, but like I didn't even like take one swing at the plate, but they're still giving me like congratulatory little Debbies after the game. That's how I felt listening to her music. I can't listen it anymore. I just have to listen to sad Steve Earle songs. Anyways, the guy on the stage, me, right now, I do not control the volume. Okay, I don't control the volume. If there's a big audio problem, if it's way too loud, if it's way too quiet, I can't do anything right now. The last show I did, besides this talk show, was a Parks and Recreation finale show. It was at the Howard Theater, and I hosted trivia. Now, 600 plus people, was a sold out event, and you're all in the room. You're making eye contact with me. You could hear me clearly, right? I'm not stumbling over words, and I had a script at the time. I wasn't fucking up anything. I very rarely went off the script. I just wanted people to have fun and do their trivia, and that's it. A day later, I found out someone was subtweeting me about how I sucked at trivia. The only complaint was the volume. I'm on the stage. I can't control the volume, okay? That's like every male in America and Gamergate. Just get over it. Gamergate's a thing. It's a sexist thing. I thought that would have landed because you're an educated audience, and that's on me. I should have explained why that's 100% on me. That's like you or me, we're all the same here, watching a television show, and it's like, why won't Timothy Oliphant fuck me? He's an gorgeous man. He's attractive. That's what that equivalent is. I don't control the volume on the stage. That made me want to quit everything. Now, here's the thing. I'm okay with people telling me to my face I suck. I'm okay with people on the internet telling me I suck if it's something that I can control. The previous time I was on stage at the Howard Theater was March 1st, 2014, and I had to follow an amazing hip-hop artist named DDM, okay? Now, DDM weighs somewhere between 260 and 300 pounds. He came on stage in a full fucking fur coat and a crown. And by the way, he's like 5'5", so that weight is not evenly distributed anyway. By the end of the set, he was wearing the crown, no fur coat, no shirts, no shirt. He had multiple shirts on, and they were cool shirts, no shirt, and shorts. He had an encore, and he was supposed to do 15 minutes, and I had to follow that. I fucking sucked. You know how I know I sucked? Because four times I go, oh, this fucking sucks. Let's just bring DDM back on here. I know when it's my fault. Ladies and gentlemen, this show, if it's good, if it's bad, it's my fault. I don't control the volume. That's all. We're going to have an amazing time tonight. We're going to make some connections, and if everything goes as planned, DDM will perform at the end of the show. Shirtless. And if you don't know who DDM is, Google him. It's Go DDM. He's currently on tour right now with two backup dancers doing Tina Turner-esque moves. That's who I had to follow. I was perfectly fine during trivia for Parks and Rec. I seriously want to fight this guy. That's not healthy. I'm here to make connections and to have fun with everybody. Anyways, I went off track a little. Guys, if you wanted to go cane, just use a bathroom. It's fine. Kevin Phillips is going to come onto the stage. Now, Kevin's been a guest on this show before. And tonight, he's not going to perform stand-up comedy. He's not going to perform sketch comedy. Instead, we're going to talk about something that he does by choice. He does MMA. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kevin Phillips, everybody. Kevin!
What's going on?
Kevin, I like you as a person.
I like you as a person.
This is the first time we're ever going to talk about MMA in front of people. And I've known about this for a while. You also have a podcast about MMA.
I do, called Verbal Tap MMA Podcast, if you want more. If this isn't enough, how many, most of you in the audience are obviously here for the MMA discussion. Yeah, I'm seeing it. Yeah, obviously, and a lot of listener bump, I presume, on
of
the
course,
podcast.
Of course.
So this is big. This is big.
Okay, so first question, the obvious question, why?
Why? Yeah, absolutely. Well,
first really
of all,
quick, does everyone in the room know what MMA is?
Perfect.
We got some notes.
Perfect. Mixed martial arts. Jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling, it just means everything. There are three different types of essential mixed martial arts. There's ground game, there's striking, there's transition game. Now you're caught up. That's MMA. MMA puts all three of them together and people fight each other. Used to be lacking some rules. That was the 90s. I think I speak for all of us when I say we remember that. It was okay. The same with rock and roll. There are rules now. It's the 2000s. We know about concussions. There are a lot of protocol. And it's a good time to join an MMA fan because right now, the highest paid fighter, do you know who it is?
No, I don't.
It is Ronda Rousey. Only major professional sport where a woman is the highest paid figure.
That's fantastic.
Only one. And I have some problems with Jason Williams, who came out as the first professional gay athlete, correct?
I think technically you're right.
My problems are not with his act. I just want to be clear. Liz Carmouche, out lesbian since 2003, fought for the title in the UFC 2 weeks before he made his announcement.
Should we be like clapping for
you
that?
Should be clapping because it's DC and there's a lot of white people and you should feel guilty. And I'm guessing there are some gay people in the room and you should still feel guilty. We should. They're not. This is like an equality thing going on. Like,
oh, that's what that is.
Okay, that's why I'm here to talk about MMA and equality. So,
okay, but why?
Yeah.
Why do you have a death wish?
Fair point. There is some injury happening. Safer than boxing. Not as much drama. Safer than sending a toddler into football. Again, that's not what he asked. I like. It gives me like sort of an adrenaline rush. I have a pretty boring office job. I need to do things. Like it's.
Why not find a more satisfying job?
Fair. Like it's. I guess it's not that easy. Does anyone have the satisfying comedy job I could sign up for here tonight? Or no? Perfect. I did start writing opinion articles for an Australian website that covers sports. So I'm doing things. $40 Australian, which I think is like $36 US. Couldn't tell you. It doesn't pay the bills.
If you were able to pay the bills with your writing, would you still perform? Would you still participate in MMA?
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So this is not just a better job.
I'm writing for MMA. Like I'm writing about UFC and sports figures. Right now, I'm working on a fight. If Ronda Rousey could fight a man, that's the article. Could she logistically fight a man?
But you realize you don't have to do the thing to write about the thing.
Oh, what? No, so you've actually seen my writing. You've seen it.
So Roger Ebert didn't make all the films. He just reviewed most of the films.
Yeah, I have a problem where I love food and alcohol, and I get overweight quickly. That's like a genetics thing.
Wine.
So I'll get fat immediately. Wait, if you gave me 2 weeks, I could do it. I could get really overweight.
Who is daring you to get fat?
No one. I'm saying that's why I do MMA. I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu specifically. I stopped doing Muay Thai because it was a little hard on the noggin.
Didn't you have a almost life-ending injury?
No, it was not almost life-ending.
What happened?
I had a bulged disc in my neck, which caused some spinal pain. Briefly making it harder to masturbate and do cocaine, as you mentioned earlier. Not impossible to do either.
I didn't combine those things.
No, I was just saying all the things I was capable of doing with my neck injury. So I had a little jiu-jitsu injury.
I didn't ask that question.
Was like a give and take thing where I'm like throwing in the podcast. You started with a pretty cool improv comedy thing. I feel the
that
need
was
to
not
attack.
Part of the recording.
I'm
going. That was part of the recording.
I'm going. I'm moving forward. It's cold. I'm also on painkillers because of a little knee injury, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that.
How many bouts have you done?
I haven't fought professionally, but I do competitive grappling. I've fought at 3 tournaments. So about 16 fights.
What's your record?
9 and an embarrassing 6 with 3 vomit experiences. Only vomited 3 times after the match. Thank you. I work in a cubicle, so people are in.
Hypothetically, 15 years from now, and you have a child.
Yeah.
Boy or girl. Because yeah. I'm amazed.
I know about the child. Like, we're...
It's you love the child.
Perfect. Good.
Would you let your child fight MMA?
Oh, absolutely. I teach children jiu-jitsu now. Like, I teach
but
miniature
jiu-jitsu. But do you do it
jiu-jitsu.
As preventative? Like, I got a DUI a la Mighty Ducks, and now you have to teach them?
You don't know how close to home that is. No. I do it voluntarily because they pay me sometimes.
But the kids don't actually, like, make contact with each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They fight. Like, kids fighting little mini... First of all, it's adorable. But kids can do jiu-jitsu and martial arts. You just have to teach them a lot more... Precautionary safeties is the best word. So we supervise.
When did you start this training?
In 2007.
Oh, so you weren't like a kid at all?
No. I did athletics, like normal athletics. Like
what did you do in high school? And
basketball, baseball.
Those are
wrestled for like a year. But.
Okay, so the wrestling for a year makes sense, but yeah. The basketball and the baseball are different.
True. That's Brian.
Brian
Weatherby knows all about sports and things. It was Brandon? Sorry. Brandon Weatherby knows all about sports. He knows all about all these topics. He's right. Those are not the same. It was a competitive drive thing. It was just like competition. That was it.
So you've been doing this for 8 years,
yeah.
And you seem to be happy with it.
Love it.
And you have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
What does she think of this? Don't please don't boo love. Please don't do that.
I like that guy's level of sadness, though. It's just like, fuck you.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't know who is Dark Abyss out there. Now, I'm assuming the person that said boo is lonely right now.
No.
Probably. We could change that tonight.
With, not, I can't help
no!
per se, but.
We'll make a connection. I'm trying to go positive.
We could do like
know.
A, I could teach you some jiu-jitsu. I mean, I don't know if that's a great idea to someone that yells no at happiness. It might be good.
All right, so here's the thing. I'm worried for you physically and mentally.
Thank you.
But I'm glad you're doing this because you seem to find some joy out of it, and you seem to encourage others, and I love the fact that you teach children this. Now, last question, because we want to move the show along.
And thank you for embracing MMA in the cultural world. This is nice. You're bringing
us
in. ESPN signed the contract 6 months ago. You're a sports fan. Brock Lesnar, highest paid MMA athlete of all time, proving pro wrestling, the big cousin of MMA. Like the big cousin.
Correct.
Yeah. I thought that would make him happy. He's just happy right now. We got CM Punk, so suck it. And we might have Brock back. We might have Brock back.
You have like 4 more matches, then you're going to get Brock back. But Brock is too hurt probably to do MMA.
Yeah, who gives a shit? He's going to get paid so much money to step in with Frank Mir that he'll be healthy enough. He weighs 294 pounds.
Stop. Isn't there a point where you just have enough money and don't want to die in a ring?
I guess I've never met that person. There might be. It's not with Brock Lesnar's not that guy.
MMA 101, especially for the people that have no idea what this is, how should they get involved? What's the stepping stone to enjoy MMA?
I mean, it starts with anything. Like it's got sort of a desire to just be healthy because it requires a lot of joint movement and the ability to cardiovascularly exercise your heart, which precludes a lot of, I know, like DC disease. It also requires contact. Start with a local gym. Just plug in MMA near you.
Do you have one in DC that you recommend?
There are 3 really good ones.
Great.
You got Ryan Hall, who's actually in Falls Church. You have Yamasaki, who's around here, and you have Capital MMA and Elite Fitness that's around here.
That's awesome.
Those are good ones.
Do any of those people pay you?
No.
Let's change that. Thank you so much for doing this. If you're interested in that, go talk to the guy that said boo to love. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Kevin Phillips, everybody.
Thank you.
Michael. Thanks, give me that. Michael, come up here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how glad are you that you said yes to this?
Like 11 points.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, I know you as not a magician.
Yes.
But because we went to a weekend happy hour, I found out that you were a magician.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. I've known a few magicians in my lifetime. You don't seem like a magician.
How so?
You can make eye contact.
Ooh, that is...
with me.
Yes, yes.
You have lots of friends that are both female and male.
That is true.
That is rare in the magician circles I run. Also, you're not currently juggling and or playing with two balls to make people feel weird.
I could.
You have never pulled a card out on me, and we've been in the same bar, I'd say, roughly 15 times.
I've got a pack of cards on me.
But you knew you were going to do this.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you usually carry a pack of cards with you?
No, and the giant quarter, too. I don't normally do that one.
Do you really have a giant quarter on you?
One of the pockets.
Now, you're a drummer. Jesus Christ. Thank you. Where do you buy the giant quarter?
Barry's Magic Shop. It closed a couple years ago, but it was the go-to place.
Where do you get your magic stuff now? Just online?
Online or back in Texas.
Why do you use a giant... Wait, why Texas?
That's where I'm from.
I know, but like you made it seem like, oh, Texas, that's where all the magicians go to pick up their giant quarters.
Everything's bigger, sort of.
Oh, I get that. You're so nice.
Yeah, I was going there.
He's a drummer in a fantastic band called North Country. North Country is a release show on April 17th at Rock and Roll Hotel. You're in a band that's doing well. Why are you wasting your time tricking people with lies?
Well, that's a good question. I want to do like a show that's a retrospective of the fact that I have no game. You know, I think there's a real reason why people get into magic. And I took a hard look. And
I don't know if you're telling fibs or a truth.
It's really that. I wanted to do a couple minutes of a scene that I've been playing out of basically, you know, what my repertoire was for the past 10 years of bar magic, stuff that landed, stuff that didn't land, and I thought it might be nice to do it on stage. There are a couple people that have kind of agreed to be the pawns in this whole thing, and it's hurt. So I want to...
Do you have
stage.
A date?
The next month or so, I've got a nice opener, a telepathetic magician that wants to do like a bit before to kind of warm the crowd up.
Okay.
And then I've got a friend who I've done a cabaret show with who wants to be the kind of the female portion of this, the one that, you know, wants to put me down sort of thing.
Okay, but what's the premise?
It's like a back catalog of the things I've done for the past 10 years.
Yeah. But like what kind of stuff are you going to be doing?
A lot of sleight of hands. You know, I do magic. It's,
yeah.
It's,
well, yes.
Yeah. It's
You don't just collect quarters.
Yeah, I mean, I do. But I didn't want to do like a show that's just, you know, I wanted it to be a scene from real life. This thing that I've done a lot. I mentioned I have no game. And that's why like magic is so important. It's a lot of real moments happened, and I've just been collecting those, and I kind of feel like it's finally time to, like...
Aren't they supposed to be fake moments? Isn't that the whole point? Okay. Now, why did you start lying to people? A.K.A. magic.
Doing the magic. I don't know. I guess I've always been put in situations where everyone else is... knows what's going on, and magic was always a way to kind of show someone that maybe you have a thought in your head, too. I mean, I've been a drummer for a long time, and it's kind of the tropic idea of a drummer that they're just kind of there, tagger along sort of thing. Yeah.
I don't want to make fun, because it's a heartfelt, true sentiment.
It's okay, everyone does.
Shut up, you're a drummer, now. I had to do that, and I apologize, and I instantly felt bad, but I think you got it because you smiled at me.
Yeah, I've been there.
What's your ideal career? Is it magic? Is it drumming? Is it somehow combining the two?
Yeah, it's something that does not yet exist, you know?
Why did you choose... Here's the thing about your art. He called you an artist. The drums are amazing, incredibly amount of time, a lot of solitary time, and then you're still kind of hidden. Magic, a lot of solitary time. But the difference is drummers, you have a shitload of gear. Magic, you can just walk in and out. Why ever start playing the drums? It seems like a horrible endeavor. I'm glad you exist. There needs to be more drummers. But Jesus Christ, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I don't think you can envision the amount of gear, the amount of time that it takes when you start playing drums. It's for the raw emotionality of it, or to piss your parents off or whatever. And it's, yeah, you don't think down the line, 10 years I'll be schlepping gear in a DIY tour van, earning nothing, having to tell my parents what I'm doing.
Do you feel ashamed to tell your parents what you're doing?
The album is being dropped on 420.
Yeah! Hey, bro.
Yeah.
But they're like an alt-country-esque band. They're like
real hardcore, yeah.
They're like Sunvolt-ish. Is that fair to say?
Exactly, yeah.
Real stoner community right there. Anyways, who are some of the magicians that you enjoy? Who are some of that you think people in the room might enjoy?
Don't say
Copperfield.
There's a guy called Banachek who's really great. He did some consulting work for Chris Angel, and that's not going to get you into him. But he wrote a great book, Psychological Subtleties, and that's the cool thing. Like, I spent so many years, I went to school here, and I've been here for like 10 years, and would always go up to this place that I mentioned before, Barry's Magic Shop, uh-huh. And I always ended up asking about like magic theory and kind of the whole ideology behind the whole scene that you create in magic. And this guy named Banachek's great to check out. He writes a bunch of books on kind of the psychological subtleties, the little things that I kind of want to represent in these bar scenes, the kind of the moments that happen.
I really hope that this happens. Let me know if I could help in any way. You seem to want to do like a really nice thing for people. Were you the guy that booed Love?
No, I was very close. I got a lot of looks. That
are you
like
single right now?
No.
What does your person think of this? Your partner?
It's kind of like the folks in the family. They've seen enough magic that you're levitating in a corner, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, so whatever. Do the thing that you've been talking about doing for the past year." So it's like, now's the time.
People could find out more about your show where?
Ooh, by talking to me, I'm gonna try to build some web presence. Magic has the element of surprise that's its big thing. So maybe that's my poor Facebook marketing. But,
and the next North Country show is that 17th?
Or 17th? Actually, it's on the 20th at Babe City. It's a house show in DuPont that we're playing.
March 20th?
March 20th.
Yeah. That's the next show.
Yep.
Well, I apologize. I plugged your April show.
Hey, that's a good show to plug.
All right, so two Fridays from now at Babe City, which is in DuPont Circle.
Yep.
It's going to be a great show. You're a great man. Good luck with the magic. Let me know how I can help. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Michael Ryan, everybody. Brittany! I am so glad that she's here, and based on the room, I know you're glad she's here. I thought she did the show before. She didn't. That's on me. I apologize. 5 years. You think I'd be better at booking this thing? Not saying that's not a knock on you or anybody else that went up. I'm just saying I should be better with cataloging and things that happened. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Brittany Carney, everybody.
Hi. How are each of your nights? Yeah? What are each of your fears? Don't answer all at once. It'll ruin my focus. I've been thinking about catcallers recently because they can use colorful language, you know? Like, one time, this guy was like, "Hey, yellow sis!" So, literally colorful, you know? And I really don't know what to say other than I'm sorry, but I only respond when people call me colors in the second half of Roy G. Biv. So it has to be green, blue, indigo, or violet, and I just don't know if he's the one, right? And then another time I was walking around not far from there, and I was with this lanky white guy, and a black man on a stoop was like, "Yo, we could call her Cinnamon." So we walked away. But I guess now I wish I had told this man what was in my heart, you know, like, "Well, sir, if you wish to be my suitor, then get your peppercorn butt over here. You, me, and sea salt can make ourselves a dry rub. Everyone will be cumin." Hey, do you guys have any skills? What are all of your skills? Makes two of us, I guess. Right? I'm asking because I turned 27 a few weeks ago, and I feel like right now maybe my only skill actually is just is creeping on DILFs. But specifically creeping on DILFs and the cheese suction at Trader Joe's, you know. Right? And let me rewind for just a second. So the definition of DILF is dad, I'd like to fromage. And the definition of that is cheese, right? So it's like, hey, mister, you think they call vintage cheddar regular cheddar when you were in college? Ha ha. And then usually they just say, I don't know, have a nice day, and they push the stroller away. So that's going really well. You guys like strawberries? Yeah? Well, can I ask you something? You know, sometimes if you buy a pack of strawberries and you take it out of the fridge, you know how sometimes when you open the plastic container, one is like half moldy and one and like half fine, you know? So that in-between strawberry, does it also make you think of early 2000s hip-hop sensation Ja Rule? You know, because their shelf lives have expired at this point, right? No longer available for consumption. And I bring this up because that strawberry, it can't succumb to a natural stage of decomposition because of the refrigerated air, right? So it's like this man-made cold air like traps Mother Nature's sweet red-fleshed seeded orphans, you know, in some sort of suspension between life and decomposition, right? Like trapped in a prison, forced to cling to a time they were once ripe. Kind of like early 2000s hip-hop sensation Ja Rule. Where's Ja when you need him? He once said that every thug needs a lady, so I've been waiting since the Ashanti years, right? So eighth grade. I feel like generally I'm pretty girly, but sometimes I think that I can get in touch with my masculine side, you know? Do you relate to that? All right. I think that I would describe my masculinity as that of an 18th century French nobleman, you know? So, like, with the powder, right? And the wig, you know? And the breeches, and the hose, and the heels, and the nails, and the bag, you know, masculine. And that joke is just because men tell me I have to make my jokes more relatable, so I thought I would lean in. Right. I work at a history museum right now where I have to talk about slavery all the time. And give it up for chattel labor. And so one time I did a tour, and this man came up to talk to me, and he was elderly. He might have been in his 80s. He was like he was sort of graceful and elegant, and he had leathery cheeks. He looked like the ghost of every Confederate general, like everyone smushed into one form, you know. And he shook my hand, and he was like, now, you're not related to Barack Obama, are you? There is something about you that is just like him. So, I'm not, but I understand. I am pretty uppity. And mostly, that experience got me thinking about doppelganger inspiration. So just my luck. I got off stage one time at a show, and the guy who came up after me was like, yo, that girl looks like she comes from the future. Like the singer Erykah Badu as an avatar. And it's okay, the only affirmation I'm seeking right now is that this joke makes any sense. So just relax. I'm seeking laughter, clarify. And honestly, I'm like kind of into it, really, because I think that anybody would want to be as graceful or elegant as giant blue cat people, you know? So, okay, in the future, in like a future imaginary world, then maybe I would look like Erykah Badu as an avatar, and I'm all right with that. But what about in an imaginary past world? Like, what could I look like in that context? And I think that in an imaginary past world, I would look like Obama, yeah, as Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Right? Like, what if Gollum and Obama gave birth to a daughter that did okay for herself, you know? I think I'm your man, right? Hey, have you guys heard about the velocity of dolphin ejaculates? Well, have you? It shoots at 180 miles per hour, which is to say a lot of miles, but you guys are lucky I'm not an adult male dolphin for the time being, right? So what I think is that we can somehow use this fertile pent-up energy as a source of power, like for our flour mills and our sawmills and our aquarium electricity generators, because that would be truly self-sustaining, right? Kind of like hydropower, but maybe less watery and more mammal, you know? And so Japan is always getting in trouble with the international community for hunting dolphins. But what if Japan's engineers just created a system using a whole bunch of really aroused dolphins? Like a lot? I think they'd invest. I think they could be into it, you know? So for a sustainable future, this could be a seminal development. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, you can watch the rest of my TED Talk on my Etsy page. Hey, you guys think if Oscar the Grouch had pubic hair, that it would look kind of like weed? Yeah, me too. I'm black and Japanese, and honestly, Jail Rule was my only connection to authentic blackness. I'm not joking. And I remember as a kid walking around Tokyo with my dad, we'd see the only other black dude in the whole city. And there was always some sort of mutual recognition. You know, it was like, hey, how you holding up in this xenophobic but evolving Neo-Confucian society? But in D.C., everybody just thinks I'm Ethiopian. And by everybody, I mean mostly Ethiopians. I think that if I had, like, if I could acquire a dollar for every time I became suddenly irrelevant to an Uber driver after they asked me where I was from, then I think maybe I could buy a flight to Ethiopia. How much time do I have? More cool. So you guys heard about these recent developments, you know, locally, if I'm talking about Oscar the Grouch's pubic hair, if you know what I mean. Yeah? I'm talking about marijuana. Right. So I like to bake things and bring them to my coworkers and pretend that I've laced them with, you know, anthrax. Do you remember the weapon is poison? So I will like go into the office kitchen and I'll leave a note next to the tray and it'll say, anthrax chip muffins, haha. But on a serious note though, anthrax for a period following 9/11 really saturated our media, but then sort of vanished from our public vernacular, right? Bearing a remarkable similarity to, I think, early 2000s hip-hop sensation Fat Joe. Have you noticed that? Okay, that's my time. Thank you so much. My name is Brittany Kearney.
Brittany, sit down for a minute.
Hi. Hi, sir.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very good.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so glad you're here. You did a great job.
Thank you, man.
Now it's a little condescending on both of our parts, and I'd like to apologize for that.
Oh, don't worry.
You could touch the quarter.
May I touch the quarter?
Of course.
Wow. Jumbo quarter.
How long have you been doing this whole thing?
It'll be a year next month.
Why did you start?
Okay, mostly I finished graduate coursework, and then I had all of these nights open, right? And I started, I had a lot of free nights. And I started to drag friends to comedy shows in D.C., and I was watching a lot of them, and I was becoming really interested in seeing the same comics over and over again. And I've always really, I've been into comedy, I've been a comedy nerd, I think, since, high school. So I thought I would try, and my friends encouraged me to. And I wrote a Google document that I forced on my friends.
And your friends still go to your shows?
Yeah, some of them. Oh, I mean, I think that there's I hear there's a cycle. No, what's happening now is people will say, oh, yeah, let me know when you're doing a show. And I'll be like, oh, okay, I have one tomorrow. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you would actually have one.
Yeah. This is temporary.
No, I hear that.
Okay.
Right. I hear that, though, if you... you go through one cycle, and everybody's getting really tired of your jokes, right?
Yes.
And then it's if you get any better, then maybe a year later,
That's right.
I'll count on my trusty Steve.
Yeah.
They're very supportive.
Do you drink alcohol?
I do.
Okay, good.
I like distilled fermented things.
I was just wondering, because it's very, very difficult to do this and not drink. If you're at a bar 90% of the time.
Yeah,
most
don't,
for the non-comics in the room,
fair.
AKA the smarter people in the room, every open mic is at a bar, and you're usually stuck there for a few hours not knowing if and when you're going to go up.
Absolutely.
And then you're just drinking out of boredom and sadness. And then, within 6 months to a year, hopefully the end part, you no longer have the same friends because you develop a horrible addiction, and I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Just tumble down a rabbit. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, I'll say that, and I feel like I get tipsy pretty quickly, so I think that I learned quickly that most, through the week, right, you're just sort of hanging out in a dark bar.
Yeah.
And out of boredom or sadness, you're like, okay, fine, I'll just get a drink.
Yep.
But these days I tell myself, only, don't get more than one drink on a weekday show.
So, but you're still getting at least one drink on a weekday show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No. So I think my tolerance is rising, which is
horrible.
Which is
horrible. You're very, very funny.
Thank you
so much
for
doing the show.
Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Brittany Carney.
Thank
everybody.
You so much. Yeah, appreciate it.
I'll take that. She's very good. Coming to the stage, Haywood, please. The stage is yours. Haywood is an old friend of mine. He's been doing comedy a hell of a lot longer than 11 months. That's not a knock on Brittany in any way. He's a pro. He's been in other countries doing this bullshit, and now we're back together at the Wonderland Ballroom for color commentary. It's Haywood Turn MC Jr.
Back together again.
You could use it for either or both. I don't care. There's enough room.
That quarter scares me.
It's weird. I don't know why it exists. But
it's a suit. Anyway.
Anyways, we like to talk about things in bars that make people feel really comfortable. Usually it's about race. So here we go.
Color commentary.
What are we talking about this week?
So this week, and for the people who don't know, color commentary is where we comment on the things going on in the world through the lens of color. You guys all on board with that?
It doesn't matter if they're not. We're doing it anyways.
That's very true.
I hope you are on board.
So, this week's color commentary, and I want to say to you, very good show so far, man. Very good show. You had Kevin T. Phillips, Zach Morris fully grown up.
Yeah. That is a compliment.
Awesome. Cinnamon Brittany. She is awesome. Look at all these friends she still got.
Still was the key word in that sense.
Still got. I don't even know my friends anymore. They're like, nigga.
My best man at my wedding hasn't seen the last year and a half of shows I've done in Chicago, and I live in D.C. That's how...
You have a best friend still?
Still.
Mm. You know what my best friend is?
Your wife.
Wife? What the fuck? When you talk about all that divorce earlier?
Sorry,
side note, Russell Brand, divorced.
Yeah, shit. That one's really sad, right?
And I, too, have a divorce under my belt. Not this wife, but
first
wife.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't count.
That does count. That does count.
No, it doesn't.
I divorced her to be a comedian. I was I'm going to go live my life.
But you don't have any kids with her.
Nope.
So it doesn't count.
Okay, tell that to Palimony. Tell that to Palimony. Hey, anyway. Exactly. I've been living a certain way. So I thought women wanted to be equal.
Let's talk about Haywood's best friend. Her name is
Marijuana. So this week we are literally commenting on the fact that D.C. has become one of the, well, D.C. is not a state. It is a, I don't know.
District.
Municipality. It's a kingdom. I don't know what you call this place.
It's a kingdom.
In the kingdom of D.C., we now can smoke marijuana legally.
I would like to welcome Haywood to how it feels to be white for the first time.
Don't, man, dude, it feels like I got a college degree now. It is so awesome to be able to smoke marijuana legally. Now, I can't buy marijuana still.
No.
That is the gimme gotcha. Like, literally, like, that's how they get you.
That is...
The gimme gotcha. I'm going to give you something.
You got it.
Gotcha.
Is that in... That is an amazing
It's a hip-hop term.
Oh, my God.
It's a hip-hop term. See,
oh
we learning
God.
Black words. Ja Rule be damned. So, literally now, so it started with medical marijuana being released in D.C., and I got my medical marijuana card, which is like literally having a license to chill in your pocket. I am double O Negro. But now, since they made marijuana legally, now we can have and we can share up to 2 ounces of marijuana legally with our friends. How many friends feel like sharing? Because I need some marijuana. Like, I don't know how you go over to your friend's house and be like, knock, knock, knock. Can I borrow some weed? Like, I'm going to give it
that.
Back.
It's like that.
You know, like, lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor. That's an Outkast song. So, like, but you can also have up to 3 plants per adult in your home. So if you're in a home like myself, where it's like myself, who is an adult, my wife, who is an adult, or my aging mother, who is also an adult, you can have 12 plants. So now I am starting a new career as a horticulturalist. I don't know what that means. I think it means I can grow plants in my house.
Are you really going to do this?
What? Have I already started doing this? Is the question you're asking me?
Sure.
What, am I going to start smoking marijuana?
No.
Am I going to keep smoking marijuana?
No.
Am I going to grow plants?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you started that?
I don't know if I can legally say
you
that.
You can legally. You just went over how you could legally
I
say
I just
that.
Went over how legally the audience could do it. I don't.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't know if I can. I got a job with the federal government. That's how good comedy's going for me. I just took a job with Obama. But I wasn't piss test. Thank you. Thank you, District of Columbia, Muriel Bowser. This is awesome. Like, literally, like, guys, you could go buy marijuana. Like, when I used to smoke weed illegally, like, all I would do was go buy it from a friend's house,
uh-huh.
Go home, and smoke it. Like, I'm not that dude that smokes in the car and, like,
yeah.
Do all that bullshit, like, smoke outside. If you do, come on, man. Don't do that shit. You fucking it up for the rest of us. Smoke marijuana at home and invite me over, and
yeah,
it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I'll laugh a whole lot. And
yeah.
All
You're great company.
I, you know what? I like to think so. I like to think I'm a DILF.
You are.
Well, not according to my MILF.
That was such a dad joke.
Yes, it was.
That was adorable.
I am an old guy. So now I can smoke marijuana. Like, I smoked marijuana the other day, and I watched the Oscars. It was so awesome because I did it legally.
Yeah, that's what made it awesome.
Well, okay, listen. A lot of people are upset about the Oscars not having a lot of people of color represented during the Oscars, and I think that was bullshit because Birdman actually won Best Movie, right?
It did.
And it was directed by a Mexican. That is awesome. Why are you guys laughing? That's fucked up. That is awesome. You didn't know they directed the movies and did the dishes on the movie theater. Too much.
Yep.
But that was awesome. And then, like, Selma won, right? Well, not Selma, but the song from Selma.
Yeah.
So, like, literally, they were like, okay, we could put Rosa Parks and Common into the same category. That's how you see it when you smoke weed. Like, look, big up Rosa Parks and Common. Glory be to all of them. It's awesome. I wouldn't have nominated Selma either. Why would you nominate a movie about the march that we've seen over and over again? Make a movie about the long walk back. I want to see a movie about the long walk home. Be like, where the fuck was the buses at, Martin? I walked all the way to D.C. from fucking Selma in church shoes. I have a dream, too, niggas, to catch a ride home. How about that? I think I'm staying. They have this place called Anacostia. I'm staying right here. And that's the name of the movie, Anacostia. The Dream.
Well, nothing's going to top that.
That's awesome, man.
Was that off the cuff?
That part was.
Yeah, it's... fucking.
God, I know I'm brilliant. Yeah, that's why I got a job.
Maybe you should have been the ones up here doing just the riffing at the start of the show. Jen was great.
No, they're great. Ooh.
No, I'm throwing Bucket on the bus.
I like Andrew Bucket, man.
He'll be on the next week's show at Black Cat. He's a great guy. Anyways.
Are you?
He is.
He is.
Oh. You're welcome to do it anytime. You just have to ask.
See, that's not welcome to ask. I mean,
no, here's why. Because I feel like I ask you to do too many things, and I feel like you don't want to do them all the time.
Oh, you're right. Not for free, nigga, no.
Yeah, so.
No. I got to get paid these days.
Speaking of getting paid, we're going to get to that in a second.
Truth be told, yes, I would love to do your shows. Your shows are always awesome. We can comment on color. Like, literally, like, we have an Asian guy sitting up front. We have a man of color sitting right there. Like, I don't even want to go there because he could be anything, which is, like, awesome.
So could I?
No.
I don't know my dad.
Well, you're Polish.
No.
That's why you don't know your dad.
No, no, no.
That's why you don't know your dad. You're Polish. I watch Happy Days. Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Thank you, Arthur.
That genuinely bummed me out.
Why? Like, it's true. It's a Polish joke. I know your dad.
Well, thanks for laughing at my lack of father.
I didn't have a father either. What are you talking about? I'm black. I had four of them. My mother literally had four husbands when I was growing up. My life was like being a Washington Redskin. Every day it's a new playbook. Look, who are we married to this month, mama? She was married to a Muslim and a Rastafari. And I was like, what are we doing now? Put the Bible away. Get out the Quran. That's all I know. It's true. Could have probably been an MVP. But the point I'm saying is...
Why doesn't a network just hire you to talk and then, like, you just talk for 15 minutes and then, like, that's their entire lineup of sitcoms?
Because they're not smart enough yet.
You just pitched 10 different sitcoms without knowing it in
a row.
Oh, I know it. Jesus.
Don't think I don't know that. You want to know why Haywood hasn't made it yet? Because Haywood knows how smart he is. You see how he's talking in the third person?
I'd say that's the first non-smart thing you've done on stage tonight.
Fuck that. Give me my loot. No, because the people that come up to you, this is what happens, Brittany. They come up to you and be like, you're doing great. We love you to go on tour for $50. Fuck you and your mama. I can smoke. People say, why would you move to New York? I can smoke weed in D.C. and I might not get killed for it. How about that? I can't breathe. Ooh, shit. Yep.
The tradition continues where it's always one joke too far.
That wasn't a joke. That was the real truth. Get a drummer song. And I got a show for him, too. It's called The Magic Drummer. That's so easy. The Magical Drummer. That is so easy. They had a magical school bus show. I watched that and smoked marijuana. It is awesome. And I do it legally now. How about that? Don't you think they smoke marijuana coming up with all those children's shows?
Oh, 100%. Is the Magic School Bus still on the air, or is it just on Netflix?
It's somewhere.
Okay.
It's in the ether. How we feeling?
Good. Glad you're here.
So my point is, smoke marijuana in your homes.
Oh, yeah.
Smoke marijuana in your homes, or if you want to have fun, smoke it at Brandon's house. His wife is awesome. It's not a club.
Thanks for literally pimping me out. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Haywood Turnip Seed Jr., everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming out. Please give him your ears. Please give him your eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the Anthony Pirog Trio, everybody. guys are talented. Do you a lot of calisthenics and stuff before? Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Anthony Peroctorio. Thank you so much. You're very good. Hey, Dario. Thank you. Appreciate it. Dario is the bartender. He's been bartending during this show for multiple years, and he doesn't have a choice, and he is the nicest man. He doesn't. He doesn't program this, but he's the nicest man, and please tip like you're a blue-collar worker, and you understand how money works. So thank you, Dario. Thanks to the Wonderland. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Yay!